Well, I want to, I guess, play with your mind a little bit tonight. A devotional talking about living in the real world. You ever hear that? I get that a lot. I read fantasy things. I love the fantasy books. And doing magic tricks and, these things. And the concept is you really want to live in the real world. Well, I don't mind visiting the real world, but I don't really like living there. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. The Hebrew here, shall not come upon the heart. He's talking about a time when we won't remember what this world is. So people often think that they're being practical when they place material values ahead of the spiritual, because they emphasize we have to live in the real world. I want you to consider the verses that tells us about this world and the real world. The fact is that we are not living in the real world at all, but in a world that is dying and will soon be gone. It's almost like a dream. I was having dreams last night, odd, strange things. Odd things were happening. And then I woke up and that world was gone. And this world of people, this human society, is going to find one day that everything they counted on, everything they worked for, everything they banked on, just pops like a bubble and it's gone. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, all the desires, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We'll live, you and I will live longer than the world. Interesting thought. This, the one we're in right now, is not even the world that God created. For that world was very good. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were, the Hebrew here, in the evening was and the morning was, the sixth day. And so on the sixth day, he had finished creating everything. The seventh day he would rest. And on that sixth day he looked around and God said, everything is good. There was no sin, there was no devil at that time. Only good. So we remember that something terrible happened to God's very good world. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world. And what was the consequence? And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that, or in whom, in Adam, all have sinned. This is the spreading of a destruction, of a disruption, of an antagonism, of a darkness. Imagine oil spills, where some tanker explodes and pure water is just polluted with gallons and gallons, tons of thick crude oil. That's what happened when sin entered in. The results were death and death-causing things. Before sin, rattlesnakes didn't kill anybody. Spiders' bites didn't hurt, The weather never would kill. These are things that didn't happen. There was no death before then. Now, that event, I say that was when the second law of thermodynamics was passed. That was second law of thermodynamics means everything's running down. Everything is becoming more and more chaotic and less organized. So that event, the entering of sin, left the world in terrible pain. The world in terrible pain. Listen to Romans 8:22. For we know, Paul says, that the whole creation, and this word for creation, the King James margin reminds us, is every creature, the thing created, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Trying to get my mind around this concept, Vincent's New Testament Word Studies, he points out that together here, it travaileth in pain together until now. Together refers to the common longing of all the elements of the creation, not to its longing in common with God's children. That's a different thing. This is all of the things of earth, because he's going to refer to even the believer later. And then he quotes, must be an old poet or something, "Nature with its melancholy charm resembles a bride who at the very moment when she was fully attired for marriage saw the bridegroom die. She still stands with her fresh crown and her bridal dress, but her eyes are full of tears." Interesting picture. And nature is like that, like dressed for what could have been. The grandeur is still there, but the glory is gone. In fact, this present world is not only not what God created, it's not even what it was soon after God's curse. There was another event. 2 Peter 3:6, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." After the curse, but before the flood, there was another world. It was a different kind of world. In fact, it was a world of great wonder, huge amount of vegetation. They tell me that it takes, I don't know what it is now, I can't remember, say 20 feet pile of vegetation to be crushed down to 1 foot of coal. And we have places where there's hundreds of feet of coal, at least tens of feet, I don't know. The indication of what was before the flood crushed it all. The fossils show us, that were made during the flood, they show us great monsters. I remember the picture I've mentioned before of a giant shark jaw hanging in a museum. And the whole thing is so big that one tooth is missing, and there's a man in a white lab coat sitting where that one tooth was. You don't want to get bit by that shark. I don't know, he wouldn't even have to bite you, he'd just swallow you whole. But huge animals. I don't think a lot of people swam in the ocean for recreation. Too many weird giant creatures. And dinosaurs lived the same time as man. Not in the same place at the same time. That would be hard. No pet dinosaurs. But what a time that was. Amazing concepts. And then it died. Gone. The remnants are just dug up. Then we recognize that another change happened. Ever since God's mediatorial kingdom ended when Babylon captured Israel, that was when the glory departed from Israel. It departed from the tabernacle, from the temple, and just moved on up and then on out. Ezekiel saw that. And that's when God's mediatorial kingdom ended, and the world since then, the rulers of this world, have been under the dominion of Satan. If you wondered why things are bad. John 12:31, Christ says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." That's the devil. He's called the prince of this world. And then you remember that in the temptation of Christ, Luke 4:5-6, the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them." The devil is offering him the power of the glory of the kingdoms, you see. And then he adds to Jesus, who didn't correct him, who evidently accepted what he said, "For that the glory of them is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." We find it's the devil that's putting people into power around this world. Now, Jesus is our Lord, our Savior. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized us into Jesus. As God looks at us, he only sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was not part of this present evil world. Listen to his testimony in John 8:23. He said unto them, "Ye are from beneath earth. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." We need to be there, you see. We need to not be of this world. He was not interested in taking over this world's kingdoms. He didn't say yes to Satan, and he was to answer Pilate. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." My kingdom doesn't come out of this world, you see. Part of the Lord Jesus' purpose in coming was also to deliver us from this present world. Galatians 1:4, speaking of Christ, "who gave himself for our sins." To do what? "That he might deliver us from this present evil world." Notice he's not saying deliver you from hell. Well, that was one of the purposes. This says to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We were all inundated in this present evil world. We were part of the present evil world. We were contributing to the present evil world. We were a child of the devil, and his will would we do. He came to deliver us from that. The adoption adopted us out of this world, out of Satan's control. Our text says that this world shall not be remembered, nor come into mind, not come upon the heart. Because one day, this corrupt world will be delivered. The new heaven and the new earth that is spoken of there in Isaiah, spoken of again in the book of Revelation. Imagine what it would be like. It's not like a redeemed earth, a made better, a reformed earth. It's a brand spanking new. Not one molecule of the new heaven or the new earth was ever stained with sin. The old just goes away. This world that we live in, this present evil world, one day will just be uncreated with a great sound. Romans 8:21, "because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So my conclusion is this: since then that this world is not our true home, we must not act as if it is. You know, it's like going on vacation and living in a tent and then saying one day, "I want to stay here forever." No, don't get too comfortable. We're going to be going home, see. And that's the way. I love the concept of the patriarchs who were promised the land of Israel, but they didn't claim any of the land. They were waiting for God to give it to them. And they lived in a tent. See, they wouldn't even build a permanent building. It was a tent and a campfire, and And then it was time to move on, pack up the tent, move to a different place, move the sheep, move the herds. They were just pilgrims in this land. And this is what we need to be. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. This living in the real world. See? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is that word metamorphosis, like the butterfly, or like the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what God's will is. Put that to the test. Find out why He wants it. You're better off being transformed out of it. So you and I need to take a very different path. Listen to Paul's advice to young Titus. Titus 2:12 and 13. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. You know, the word ungodliness I find interesting because it just means not godliness. It means not reaching to a level of godliness. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, not silly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That puts us out of step with everybody, doesn't it? We don't look like, we don't smell like, we don't act like, we don't sound like the world. We don't respond to things like the world does. We're different creatures. In this present world, we deny these things. Looking for, we're in this world, but we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior Jesus Christ. The Greek literally says we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. The glory, the brightness, the shining, the amazing divine brightness of God. So, we who have been born again have a special mission toward those who are the true natives of this world. We are ambassadors, you see. We're ambassadors in an alien land. You got the concept of ambassador, right? That you now have a place to live in a foreign country, but your embassy in that country belongs to the United States, if you're a United States ambassador. That embassy is sovereign land of the United States. But you, then, representing the United States and our president and our way of life, influence or speak to the people of that foreign land. Well, that's us. We are Christians who serve a different kingdom, who serve a different Lord, a different master, a different king. Yet we live here, but we speak out to the people around us, those who are the natives of this land. And God tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, we beg you, in Christ's stead, in His place, be reconciled to God. Here are our words when Christ doesn't give those words anymore. He's going up to heaven. And so we are the ambassadors. It's an official job. We are representing God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, to this world around us.